I don't like to preach on sin because sin is, you preach on sin, you're very conscious of sin. You preach on righteousness and God, you're very conscious of God. How many would understand that? But sometimes we have to establish something in order to have something else. And I think that's what Paul was trying to do in Romans chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. And he was trying to show us that sin is done away with. And some of us, sometimes we don't believe that. We believe it because it says it, but how far and how deep do you believe that sin is done away in your life? Because you're going to come back to the scripture say that says, well, you know, Paul says, you know, I do what I don't want to do, and I can't do what I want to do, and it says right there in the Bible. He's trying to explain about sin and about righteousness. How many are children of light? Because that one day you said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and you move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. But sometimes we are in the kingdom of light, but we think kingdom of darkness. Can you get that? And you know what? It's just the way it is, because sometimes we do. And the Bible says not to do that, to renew your mind into the Word of God. Because what he said, either has to be true, or he either has to be false. And I believe that it's true. Whatever he said in this word is true. Okay, so we're going to read Romans 6, verse 6. And I just want to tackle one word today. I'm kind of a one-word guy, so two words is too much for me. But one word I can handle. Romans 6, verse 6. We know that our old sinful self were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose his power in our life. We are no longer slave. All right, I'll do that again so that didn't hear me. We, that's me and you, are no longer slave. And the word is slave. Somebody asked me what I'm preaching, what's the word for today? I said slave. Okay? Because we are no longer a slave of sin. That's what Paul says. Romans 6:22 says, can you bring that up? 6 verse 22. But now having been set free from sin, but now we are free from the power of sin, and have become slave of God, now you do those things that leads to holiness and result of eternal life. Now, remember I said we're no longer slave, forget it, but here it says that we're slave again to righteousness. Then it says that we're slave to God. So really, you have a master. It's either the flesh or it's either the Lord. So we're slave. And you know what? If I got to pick, I'm going to pick. I want to be a slave of God. I want to be a slave to righteousness. If I'm going to serve a master, I might as well serve the right one. And you agree with that, because if you're going to serve someone, you want to serve God Almighty. All right, so we go on. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You're not under the law, but you're under grace. So I changed the word grace, and I put choice. You know, I have a choice here to leave the law and go into God, because of grace, okay? It's a choice. It's like we say grace is unmerited favor. It is, but it's also grace comes through a choice. So you can choose who you're going to serve. So I did some research on the word slave, and it says, a person held legally or illegally in bondage to another. How many can understand that? You guys are awesome. One who lost all power of resistance to some bad habit or vice. That's being under slavery. If you have a bad habit or vice and you don't like it, you know it's not come from God. But today I want to tell you how we can release that. How can we? Because Pastor Travis began to talk about Adam here and Jesus over here, and there was a transformation, and you know we got to produce fruit. And you say, well, I got to be good. I can't do that. I can't do this. I got to do this. I got to do that. And you know what? You cannot do it. How many heard the song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I want is to be like him. Excuse my French singing, but it runs in the family. Okay. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we sing that and we believe that, but really it's impossible to be like him. We can try. We can try this and that. And it's when Christ comes in us, through him, we're different. Through him. If you read the book of Romans, any book, it always talks about in him, through him. And we forget that everything we're going to do in this life here, whether you're trying to do something or you're trying to be out of somebody's control or something, it can only be done through him working in you. Through him, you can quit it. Through him, you become a new person. You're not the same anymore. You may look the same, but inside, someone is working. That is Christ that works in him, me. That the glory of God will be seen into this world. We think salvation is you're going to heaven. Salvation is an open door to be a different person. To wear the shoes that he told you that's yours, get in it, I don't like it, but this is, God made you for this, he's equipped you for this, you're ready to walk with him, because that's what he wants you to do. Forget the neighbor, forget your brother, forget this. You are in Christ. Amen. So I'll repeat that. A person held legally means it's a choice, or illegally means it's not a choice, in bondage to another. One who lost his power of resistance to some bad habit or vice. And that's what Paul is saying in the book of Romans. You cannot do it on your own because you are under control of sin, but yet you're born again because your mind hasn't shifted from this area to this area. There's got to be a mindset of our, because we're believer, we have to have this mindset that we're not under the law and that Satan has no power over you except what you give him. You give him none and he'll have no power over you. And that's what I want to do totally each day. See, each day is a new day. You're going to get temptation one day. You may not get them the next day. So every day has to be different. So let's read. I want you. Now there's about 8 or 9 verse here. And in those 9 verse, talks about slave 9 or 10 times. Basically every verse talks about slave. So what word am I speaking on today? I want to find out, are we slaves to something here? So if we are, and it's not good, let it go. So let's see verse 15, Romans 6, verse 15. What then shall I say? Shall we sin? Because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slave, underline slave in your Bible? Some of you don't want to underline because you think it's a holy book. You can underline slave. To obey, you are that one slave again, who you obey, whether of sin leading to death or to obedience leading to righteousness. Okay. But, verse 17, God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, again, you got to pay attention, right? Yet you obey from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from the sin, you became slave of righteousness. Okay, having been set free from sin, you become slave of righteousness. There was a switch there. I like that. I like that it says to me that I'm not very bright, right? But I can figure this out. And having been set free from sin, you became slave of righteousness. Meaning, you're still slave, but now you're a slave of God. Slave of doing good. Slave of the righteousness. And you know, that's what it tells me here, verse 17. I speak of human term because of the weakness in your flesh. If your flesh weak, yes it is. For just as you present your member as slave of uncleanness. Oh, my English not so good this morning, right? Leading to more lawlessness. Okay. Did you change that, Josiah? Trying to confuse me here? Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourself be slave to impurity, to lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourself to be slave to righteousness, living so that you will become holy. You know, God says in His Word, be holy as I am holy. And there we are in the natural, falling into the trap of Satan, whatever that trap may be, the control of somebody else, while we're supposed to live a holy life. But there's a way, and that's what we want to talk. How many want to hear the way to righteousness? Amen. So, how long is slave exists? Slavery?
Forever.
Ever since man exists, there was slavery. I'm bigger than you. I'm stronger than you. You are my slave. Uh-oh. You better listen to me. Right? This is more or less. And you say yes, okay, that becomes legal. You know, what happened now, there's a legal slavery and illegal slavery. And we see the children of Israel, when they fought and took a country, the people became slave to them. They did the dirty work because I'm more powerful than you. And we see it in Gideon, the Midianite, right? We see it when the giant came out and he said, you send the biggest of your guys and we're going to fight. If I win, you become slave to us. If you win, we'll be slave to you. Legally, we'll do that. So there is slavery that is legal and there's slavery that is illegal. Now, so say if you marry somebody that has a control freak and he's got control over you, legally, you're right on. You marry the man. Right? It's a legal thing. But that don't mean You need freedom still. You need to be free from that. Because you don't want to walk under somebody. Now, let's look at... Is that applied to you, Matt? You were laughing. You were laughing. Anyway, so what happened over the years? How many remember slavery? Now, I did a little bit of research on slavery, and it says that today, to this day, there's about 25 million people that are under illegal slavery. Now, it's quite a number to say to be right, but we don't know, because between India, Asia, Ethiopia, you name it, Africa and all this stuff, there's a lot of people that are still under slavery. You know, and it's illegal slavery. Now, remember, there was a civil war in the state. I know you weren't born yet. But sometime we have the mindset that was passed from generation to generation. And, you know, the white people down in the state... And it's not about, we got a guy from the state, California, is it? Texas. Wow, Texas. Do you drive one of the big car, black car with horns at the front? Red. A red, okay. Texas. And anyway, in the south of the state, they began to bring people from Africa, black people. And they began to bring them and slave them to work in the field. And, you know, I know you know all the history. I'm not 100% sure exactly the date. But that lasted for quite a few years until Abraham Lincoln, the president of the state, said, we want to abolish slavery. It's not legal. But people were born into slavery. Their son, their daughter, they grew up in a little house beside a big mansion and worked all their life. And you were born there, and you died there, and that was your life. You didn't know any freedom. So in 1850-some, there was a civil war to free the slave. How many know? Hundreds of thousands people died in that war. But in 1865, after the war was won, Abraham Lincoln... That was, it's going to be 150 years ago, the 6th of December, signed that declaration that said all men are free in the state. No more slavery. Well, because of the mindset, took years. Still now, if you go down there, there's something about slavery between the black and... you come to Canada and it's not so prevalent, but the more you go south, it's more prevalent. You're black, I'm white, we're different. But God made all men the same. Man made slave. But what happened is, in 1965, that's 90 years since it was signed, 55, one lady was listening to, reading books on the black woman of faith. There was some black woman that really did amazing thing. Nobody knew about it, but she was reading that. And you know how faith comes? And she was reading, and she read that. So after school, her name was Rosa Clark, I think. Is it? Okay, after school, she took the bus. Now, the bus, if you were black, you sit in the back. Now, all men are equal, isn't it? No more slave. But in the mindset, you just go at the back because you're less than the people at the front. That's what they think. So it takes a while to get rid of that, you know, mindset that I'm equal. You don't have to sit at the back. You could sit at the front beside him because you're darker. That's why I'm saying that, right? So she came in the bus, and we all know the story. She sat in the front. Yeah, I'm going to sit at the front. After all, 100 years ago, I was set free. I'm not a slave anymore. I might be black, but I'm equal to everything. And she sat in the front and put her arm like this and said, nobody's going to move me from here. Declaration. This woman took that piece of paper and believed that piece of paper, and she said, I'm going to make a change. You know what? If we take this piece of paper here, we can make a change in this world. Because this is what God says about us, who we are, how we think. Am I going to be slave? How am I going to be free? So this woman began, decided to be free and sat there, and they stopped the bus. They called the police, and they came and handcuffed her and took her out of the bus. Illegally, that was not legal. And you know, from that point on, this thing built up, and you have Luther King Jr. that came, whatever. But still, all I'm saying today is still there. See, you have to forget about the past. See, there was a lot of injustice done, slavery, all over the world. Even in the ground that you stand here today. There was native that was treated unfairly. And maybe today they still have this mindset that, you know, I'm not as good as the white man, or, you know, I can't get as much and as God as bright or whatever it is, or maybe it's another race or whatever it is. The mindset stays in there. That's what Paul is trying to say. He's saying, you got to change your mindset, because now if you say you're slave to me, then I'm your master. I will protect you. I will take care of you. And I, you know what I mean? That's why the Bible talks about he gathers his children like a hen gathers his little chick. And it talks about Psalm 23 talks about the shadow. You know, you got to be close enough to be in the shadow of the Almighty. Because he's your master. You love him. He's done everything for you. So in 1965, Abraham Lincoln signed this thing. Okay. Now, I just want to slavery steal your freedom of choice. If you say, well, I want to remain slave, you can. You can choose that. The past holds you in bondage, okay? And that's what happened now. You see what's happening in the world with the different race? And if you go to Iran or all those countries, if you're white, they kill you. If you're a Christian, they kill you. If you're another type of people, they kill you or whatever. There's no law. This is awful. Just because you're different. But in this country, we are going to be different. As a church, as a group of people, we are in Christ and we're going to profess. Because if you don't profess, profess your Christianity, profess, it's going to be stolen from you. First thing you know, you won't open your mouth for nothing. So we got to share our faith. Okay. Jesus, legally. Now this is defeated Satan. See? Legally. On the earth. I want to say on the earth because it had to be done on the earth. Because where was sin committed? Sin was committed on the earth, so it had to be done back on the earth. So Jesus could sign the declaration of freedom in heaven. But he had to come down on the earth and give his life, go back to the Father, and now sign that declaration that whosoever will be free. Now, do you know what we wrote at the front of the church? I was thinking about that this morning. At the crossroad, established 33 A.D. And I know at the time I was thinking, well, what should we put on this church? And then I got this word. Because everybody put 18 whatever, and 1700, and 1920 whatever. That's where it starts. When he died and he went to heaven and he signed his name in the book there, had to be a book, he put his blood on the altar or whatever, that was the moment you were declared free. You didn't even exist then. You didn't come till 2,000 years later, but still the promise, the declaration is the same as the one in the state that was signed in 1865, all men shall be free. And what Jesus said, 33 years, it could be 34, 32, who knows, doesn't matter about the detail, all men are free. All men and women are now free. And you know, you just found that out when somebody spoke to you, do you know Jesus? You pay the price. He loves you. And then you change your slavery to this one, the master, the real one, the one that created you and loved you, okay? I am no more slave to sin. I know it says to fear, but sometimes I always change words when I sing. For sin shall not have dominion, verse 14, over you. For you are no longer under the law, but under grace. Meaning when you got saved, you became a free agent. You got free from the power of sin, and Paul said, don't go back there. And the way not to go back there is pretty simple. It's to get close from him. You get close to Jesus. And the more closer you get to Jesus, the further away you get from sin. Now, sin is real. The flesh is real. Desire are real. But so is my God real. And as we draw closer to him, because say now, how many remember when you got saved? You all remember. Was there a change? Yeah. Was it for the best or was it for the worst?
It was for the better.
All right. So you and I could ask everybody and say, wow, the grass was greener. The flowers were nicer. The air smelled fresher. And you know, because there was something, you came in close to God. Yeah. And you know, you didn't want to sin more than you wanted to go to North Pole. Because you were so close to God and it's like, don't bother me. You know, I'm just me and him. But somehow, we get away from that. And maybe it's just the time, I don't know, but all I'm saying to you, we can't get away from that. Because as much as you get away from the closeness that God gave you, because now you're in him, and through you he wants to do something, but you're over here on this side, and you're complaining and say, oh, how am I going to get out of this one? Sin has power over me. I can't fight back. You don't have to fight back. You just have to get closer to him. So that he can work through you. Because people, after you got saved, probably some of you, they said, you know what, you look more like Jesus. You sound like Jesus. You do things, you talk like Jesus, or whatever. Because they saw the difference in you. But somehow, they got away. And I'm saying to you, somehow, you got to get closer to him again. Whether it's your prayer closet, whether it's your word, whether it's your talk with him, you can't cut that. Because as you do that, sin is being released. Yes, temptation is there. But you can say, no, I can't. Because I know that if I go back there, I'm going to displease my master. Because I'm a slave unto righteousness. I'm a slave unto God. This is who I am. You know, He paid for me. I'm bought and paid for. And I'm free in Him. Amen? So you are set free from sin, not by doing. You become slave of righteousness, not by doing, by just come into Him and say, Lord, I just want to live. I want what you gave me when I got saved to be there again. If we're going to grow from glory to glory, it's not from glory to whatever it is here. It's from glory to glory to glory. Somehow I can talk to you and say, how's it going? It's going much better than yesterday. It was great. I was doing awesome yesterday, but today I'm doing even better. That's how I'm doing. I'm doing awesome because, yes, you're going to have problems. Yes, you're going to have tribulation. But you know what? You overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You cannot stay silent. You cannot stay silent. You have to say something. Last scripture I want to look is James 4:7, which you know. Therefore, submit to God. How do we do that? By getting closer to Him and say, God, yes, I want to talk to you. I want to spend time with you. Yes, show me your word. What do you say? And you submit to God. And does it say, it says resist. There's still something you got to do. Temptation will come your way. He still want to make a slave out of you, Mr. the Devil. But it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you're into your prayer closet, and you're connecting with God, and you're alone with God, and He's growing in God. And through you, He gives you enough strength to overcome. It's going to come. Don't think it's not going to come. To do things you're not supposed to do, He will tell you it's okay. Everybody does it. Well, this guy's not doing it. Amen. And that's what you got to say. And you know, there's going to be, you know, like Jesus says, you know, if a member causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eyes causes you to sin, pluck it out. That's funny because I was making a pie last week. First one I made in thousands of years, probably. Because we had some apple, and I said, well, let's try to make a pie. That was for the R group. Was the pie good? Anybody from the R group here? Yeah. Go. And then, this, you know, on the screen, they say, okay, you use this little tool to take the core of the apple. It's a round little thing. And you just kind of gouge it out, you know. I said, well, that'd be good for going to church to gouge people's eyes. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said that. I'm just bringing a tool to do it. Okay? So then there's going to be a resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Now, Pastor Travis talked about last week about how you have to flee. That's still going to have to happen. But it's going to get easier. See, your mindset of everybody's doing it. Your mindset of, well, I can't help it. Your mindset of, you know, I can't do the things I want to do, but I do the thing. All that mindset's going to just go down, go down, go down. And then you're going to look at God's word. Says, yes, Lord Jesus, through me, I can do it. Yeah. And that's how the fruit of the Spirit begins to move in your life. Not because you're trying not to do this. No. Because the fruit, like Pastor Chad, I listened to his message about the apple tree, that you just pop in your life. Pop over here. Because you're with him. He's with you. Now, all this stuff over here, you still have to resist, but it gets less and less. Listen, guys, you can do anything, but you're going to have to declare it, right? Last week at our group, she declared something. She said, before the meeting, she said, she brought some chip, right? And I use that as an analogy. She says, I can't take one because if I take one, I'll eat the whole pole, right? Now, don't look down at her. You probably would do the same, right? Or maybe it's a box of chocolate. Who knows? Whatever. And she declared that. Because she declared that, she told everybody in the group, now she couldn't take anyone because we would have jumped on her and cut her hand off or something like that, right? I mean, I make it a little bit more illustration, right? So sometimes we have to speak God's word. We have to speak what we're going to do. We got to speak what we're not going to do. We got to draw close to him. As we draw close to him, he draws close to us. And he gives us enough power to resist each day. Now, another thing I want to say before I close is each day is a new day. You can't think about the failure of yesterday, but you have to think about the overcoming thing of today. And you got to stand every morning, or you think about it, you're driving, God, this is my hand. They're going to be used for your glory today. Lord, those are my eyes, they're yours. Because if you live through me, then I want to make sure I keep them at the right place. Lord, my ear, every member, my feet, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do this because you're working through me. I'm yours. I'm a slave unto God. I don't want to be free. We say we're free, but if you're free by yourself, you're going to fall really quick. But if you choose to be free in God, you're going to stand forever until glory land. Amen? All right. What do we do next? I don't know. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay. Now, you had said something, homework for last week, and I forget what it was. Remember? You forgot. So how many did the homework? You did. You did the homework? You weren't here. So we have somebody that wasn't here that did their homework. The rest of them. Oh, yeah? What was it?
It was when you're tempted to sin, you got to declare sin, you're no longer my master.
There you go. So it connects with his message. You know, we're servant of the Almighty God in everything, every day. Nobody can buy you. Somebody already paid for you. Amen. You cannot have two master. Right. Amen. Let's stand.
I did it. I did the homework.
Oh, you did. All right. I just want to say, maybe if you came here for the first time, you don't know Jesus Christ. You don't know God. It's very important that you make him Lord of your life. We're all learning here. We're all falling sometime. But we keep our eyes on him. Because he lives in us. There's hope for each one of our life. So I want to pray and close the meeting. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, that the gospel is so simple, Lord. How can we miss the nugget of gold that lays all over the page? Father, I just pray that Father has all of the saints, Father. Those that have been redeemed by you, open your word this week. Lord, that they would find life everlasting, Lord. Father, I want to thank you that we're not destined to fail, but we're destined to success. We're destined to be totally different, set apart. We want to praise you, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And the saint said, amen, amen and amen.